We're talking today with Colin Woodall from the D.C. office of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Colin, as you come to Oklahoma here at the end of the month of July, a lot of interesting things obviously happening right now in our nation's capital as far as a lot of regulatory things. But as we've talked, really not much happening from the legislative side of the capital. You really didn't expect, I know, talking to you earlier this year, for much to be done on this election year.
No, we didn't, and we're not disappointed in the results because, unfortunately, they haven't done much. And typically, as they finish up July and head towards their August recess, they're always trying to push towards getting votes, especially on appropriations bills. And we're just not going to see any votes at all. We're going to have a couple of hearings on some pretty big issues that we're working on, but everything is getting pushed to the lame duck session. It just looks like this Congress is not going to get anything done before Election Day.
Are there some things in your mind that really NCBA would like to see done, if they could possibly find some way to get a vote and some action?
Absolutely, and that has to do with all the appropriations bills. One in particular happens to be the Interior and EPA bill and also the Energy and Water Development bill. Those two bills have language in it right now that would defund all of EPA's work on the Waters of the United States rule. This is the rule that would really increase the jurisdiction that they have over farms and ranches and every body of water in this country, and we need to stop it, and the best tool that we have to stop it is taking their money away. So we would love to see action on that, but as I said, we're just not going to get it.
Yeah, the House has been moving along those lines, but clearly the problem is the Senate.
And you're exactly right. The House has done a lot of work, not only on their versions of the appropriations bills by including that defunding language, but they also just last week passed a standalone piece of legislation that would stop this entire rulemaking process and basically stop EPA in their tracks. Unfortunately, these provisions, along with a lot of other pieces of legislation, are going over to the Senate, where they just die a very slow death because Harry Reid is not interested in picking them up and having the debate or the vote.
Truly the gatekeeper there is Mr. Reid.
Mr. Reid is the gatekeeper. He is determining what actually succeeds and dies when it comes to legislation. And right now, everything is dying because nothing is a high priority for him. I think he understands that he controls everything, and as long as he can put a stranglehold on the House Republicans, he thinks that maybe that might help the Democrats in the fall elections.
I guess what the other thing is, the kind of that broad issue that kind of goes well beyond just legislative action is immigration. And that's one of those things not going to happen. Anything's going to happen on either, right?
Unfortunately, nothing's going to happen. As we look at everything we're dealing with right now, with all the unaccompanied minors coming up, especially out of Central America, we would think that this would be the best opportunity we might have or the best excuse for Congress to step up and try to do something when it comes to immigration reform. But unfortunately, again, this is not a top priority for Mr. Reid. And even if the House were to act, I'm afraid it would sit in the Senate and just die. This is a political issue. It's going to be a lot of discussion back and forth for the rest of this year, and especially as we ramp up to the presidential elections of 2016. But I don't see Congress taking any action on immigration between now and this next presidential election that's a little over 2 years from now.
Let's talk about regulatory issues. Clearly, where we've seen inaction on Capitol Hill, we're seeing a lot of almost a frenzy of action when it comes to some of the agencies under the Obama administration.
It is a frenzy because they know that they've got just a little over 2 years left in order to get all of their agenda completed. And so because of that, the president is using his pen and executive orders and the rulemaking process to get as much done as possible. And we've got several that we're watching very closely. Already mentioned the Waters of the United States proposal out of EPA. This is the proposal that would remove the term navigable out of the Clean Water Act and basically turn every body of water or potential body of water in this country into the jurisdiction of not only the EPA but also the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Now, there were some exemptions built in for NRCS conservation programs, but the problem with exemptions in Washington, D.C. is that they can always be changed, so it does not protect agriculture the way EPA said it would.
And clearly, we do have a comment period open on the rule itself. This interpretive rule, though, I guess technically that comment period has closed. What do you see EPA doing with all the comments they got on that, as far as how are they going to respond to those?
You know, this was an interesting process because there basically were two rules out there, the main rule through EPA and this interpretive rule through the NRCS at USDA, which is talking about those conservation programs I just mentioned. That program or that comment period did wrap up, but what we are seeing a lot of comments out of Gina McCarthy, who's the administrator of the EPA, saying that maybe they moved too fast on that or they didn't do it appropriately. So we've heard from her a couple of times that she may consider pulling back that rule. If she does, I think that shows that there's a lot of concern out there and that she's hearing that concern and that we need to keep up the pressure, because if we can pull back the interpretive rule, I think it's very possible that we can pull back the main rule.
I know what they really had some things that they were trying to base those rules on as far as some studies and whatnot that they haven't released yet.
That's right. The biggest one was a study called The Connectivity of All the Waters. It's basically trying to show how all the waters within the United States work and really try to delineate that jurisdiction for the EPA. And you're right, that study has not been completed, much less peer-reviewed. So we have a rulemaking process based on a study that has not even been completed and reviewed and put out there for comment.
Only in Washington.
That's exactly right. Only in Washington. And, you know, that's not the only rule we've seen that process happen. We also have the Brazil rule, where USDA APHIS was trying to open up the importation of fresh and frozen beef out of Brazil into the United States. We've got a lot of problems with that just because of the FMD concerns, foot and mouth disease concerns down in Brazil. And what happened is just about a week after the comment period on that particular rule closed, there was a report that came out of USDA showing the result of a lot of site visits that were done back in 2013 that showed that Brazil, their government, has a lot of problems implementing the current or existing food safety structure, much less adding things that have to do with foot and mouth disease.
Regarding that particular proposed rule, where do you see, you know, what's going to happen with it within the bowels of USDA?
Right now, they are going through all the comments, and there were several extensive sets of comments put in. NCBA definitely commented, and we asked a lot of questions. I think they could spend the rest of the year just trying to answer all the questions we asked. But we do know that they're moving forward on this. We are trying to use our friends up on Capitol Hill to send a signal that they need to step back and look at the site visit report that I just referenced and make sure that they understand what the methodology truly was behind this entire process to make sure that we are not exposing ourselves to foot and mouth disease. We have not had foot and mouth disease in this country since 1929, and we cannot afford reintroduction. We know that reintroduction could cost our industry up to $50 billion.
Regarding other rules, regs, are some of the things that that you're watching as well?
The Dietary Guidelines for Americans is another big one for us. Every 5 years, USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services, they go through and review and revise these guidelines. Most everybody knows the guidelines through the old food guide pyramid and then what's now called the My Plate. And every 5 years, it's a struggle for us as an industry to try to keep beef on the plate. There are a lot of people out there that don't like us. They don't like what we do. They don't like our product, and they try to get us off. So we are doing a couple of things. One, just trying to make sure we're engaged in all the public meetings to show the benefits of lean beef in a daily diet, and to understand that, or to help USDA understand that they can be very safe and comfortable in maintaining beef on these dietary guidelines.
One other area, as far as that I know USDA is working on, is implementation of the 2014 farm law. There's some areas that are very, very much of a concern to livestock producers. The livestock disaster assistance help was promised early on. I know that there's some problems, though, as far as when it comes to computers talking to each other and the ability of USDA to deliver on that as quickly as we thought they might be able to.
Well, we do have to give credit where credit is due, and Secretary Vilsack said he was going to get it rolled out, and he did. And we've had a lot of producers around this country who have received some checks that they needed to make sure that they could stay in business. So it's a program that has already helped a lot of people. But to your point, Ron, you're exactly right. There have been a lot of problems with just interpretation, rollout of the program, some of the computers talking to each other, and just the understanding among a lot of the local FSA officials in the county offices on knowing how these programs work. So it's caused a lot of producers to walk out pretty frustrated and have to go back multiple times in order to get their money. I think we're getting closer to working all those out, but it has not been a smooth rollout.
Finally, you know, as we think about fall elections, the fact that there's going to be a lot hangs in the balance as far as what's going to happen for the last 2 years of the Obama administration based on what happens, especially in the U.S. Senate races around the country. How do you see this thing falling out? What's your best guess, crystal ball, if you want to call it that, regarding where we go with these November elections?
Well, when it comes to the November elections, the Senate elections are the focus of both parties right now, because as you mentioned, whoever controls the Senate will determine just how successful President Obama is in the last 2 years of his administration. We feel pretty comfortable that Republicans will maintain control of the House. We may even see a pickup of a couple of Republican seats. But on the Senate side, it's going to take 6 seats for the Republicans to take control. And right now, there are not 6 guaranteed Republican pickups. There's a lot of close races out there that anything could happen between now and Election Day. This is really the silly season when it comes to politics, because they are wrapping up in Washington, D.C. They're going to go home for 6 weeks in August and early September. They're only coming back in D.C. for about 8 days in September, and then they're back home until Election Day. Those are a lot of town hall meetings. Those are a lot of public appearances where people can say the wrong thing and not only hurt their own chances for re-election, but other Republican candidates' chances for re-election. So right now, it's anybody's game on who can control the Senate in this next Congress.
I guess what, as far as the regulatory agenda, all these things that we've talked about to this point, they all kind of hinge on exactly whether or not the Republicans control the Senate in 2015 and beyond.
They do, because when it comes to the regulatory agenda and all these rules we just talked about, one of the best tools that we have is taking away the money from these agencies, defunding their action on these particular rules. Right now, we have seen the Democrat-controlled Senate not willing to pass those particular provisions, but I feel that a Republican-controlled Senate probably would. So under that scenario, a Republican-controlled Senate probably would be best for us as we look at the waters of the United States, dietary guidelines, Brazil, and a lot of the other rules and regulations that we're going to be fighting.